Tonight was the final Dynamite before Full Gear, coming up this Saturday from the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. And there wasn't a whole lot to get excited about, to be perfectly honest with you. There was not a whole lot to get excited about. There certainly was not a lot of excitement in the air with this crowd in Connecticut tonight. That was for damn sure. They did not sound excited. It sounded to me as if these people bought tickets thinking that they were going to a different show. I don't know if they were expecting WWE. I don't know if they were expecting Cirque du Soleil. I don't know if they were expecting Icecapades. Whatever it was, maybe the Harlem Globetrotters. Then they realized, oh shit, this is not what I paid for. But they had already paid for the parking pass. So they said, ah, well, fuck it. We may as well just stay and watch the show. I don't know what was up with this crowd tonight, but we had the final face-off between Jon Moxley and MJF, ahead of their championship match on Saturday at Full Gear, or Sunday, if Jon Moxley is to be believed. Jon Moxley seems to think the pay-per-view is on Sunday. Hopefully he shows up on Saturday. But we had the final face-off between the two of them at the end of the show. And it's not a case where they went out there and they had a bad segment, they cut bad promos, although Moxley was off tonight. It was something about him that was off. He was fumbling all over the place, didn't know the date of the pay-per-view, and it was just more of the same. You know, we've had strong promos in the weeks leading up to this show, especially from MJF, but Moxley as well. Some really good promo work on the mic from these two heading into this match. Tonight was very paint-by-numbers. Tonight we didn't hear anything new that we haven't already heard from them. You know, there was really nothing any different that we have not seen over the last several weeks. So it was just very vanilla, very paint-by-numbers stuff at the end of the show. The Firm comes out, they attack Jon Moxley. MJF comes out, single-handedly dispatches the Firm. Maybe in the end, the Firm will find out is with MJF. I hope not. I mean, that would be so fucking lame. But it was just, I don't know, there was something missing. Something missing from that final segment. We did, however, get confirmation tonight, and this, of course, is no big surprise. I've been talking about this now for weeks. You pretty much could have figured it out from the videos they've been airing. Teasing the return of Kenny Omega, teasing the return of the Young Bucks. It became official tonight. The graphic was filled in, and we now know that at Full Gear it will be Death Triangle defending the Trios titles against the Elite. The Elite is back. This phantom investigation that we are, I guess, supposed to take their word for actually happened is now over. The Elite has been cleared of any wrongdoing, and the Elite will be at Full Gear on Saturday. And they at least got a reaction when they filled in the graphic and you saw Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. The crowd actually showed a pulse. They actually showed signs of life. So that's good. Now we wait and see how bad the CM Punk chants are. Britt Baker was actually a bright spot on the show tonight. I thought that Britt Baker, standing backstage tonight, cut the best promo of her entire career. That was the best Britt Baker promo that I have ever seen. And it was a total babyface promo. She was there, no Rebel, no Jamie Hayter, no Tony Schiavone, no interruptions. Just Britt Baker standing in the back talking about why this match is so important to her at Full Gear. And how offended she has been at the comments that Saraya has been making about her. I thought the promo from Britt Baker was maybe one of the best things on the entire show tonight. So kudos to her for that. As a regular episode, I thought it was a good show. It's a weird one because I didn't think it was a bad show. If you judge it by, was this show good enough to get you to buy the pay-per-view if you were on the fence about it, then no, I don't think it was. I don't think it was a very good show. I don't think that as a go-home show, and the go-home show technically is Friday, but for the go-home Dynamite, right, the final episode of Dynamite before this pay-per-view, if you were somebody who, I don't know if I'm going to order this show or not, let's see what they do on Dynamite tonight. If you were on the fence, I don't see anything that happened tonight unless you were a huge fan of the Elite. And now that you know the Elite are going to be on the show Saturday, man, I have to order that show. Absent that, there was nothing that happened on the show tonight that I think would push those people towards ordering the pay-per-view on Saturday. Good show as far as the action that we got and some of the promos that we got. But as a go-home show to sell you on Full Gear, I think it missed the mark. this show just felt like it was missing something. And it, honestly, there's a lot of AEW shows recently that have that feeling, where you have some matches that are really good, you have some promos that are really good. It's not all bad, but when it's over, it just there's something off about these shows. Now, I know they have a bunch of people out still with injuries. The Elite has been out. Now they're going to get the Elite back. Whether you like them or not, that's three big names. Well, two, if you count the Young Bucks as one. Two big names are going to get back this weekend, but something has definitely been missing from these shows. There's just a certain excitement. There's a certain feel to these shows, must-see feeling to these shows that just hasn't been there. Tonight did not really do anything to recapture that, but we will talk about that. We will talk about everything that happened on the show tonight. And if you missed them on episode 782 this past Sunday, I will be going through the Full Gear predictions a little bit later on. This is your AEW Dynamite review for November 16th, 2022. I am the Solemn Monster. We are very close to Thanksgiving. We're only about a week away. All right, a little over a week away from Thanksgiving. Everybody's going to be running out and buying their butter balls. You better get those turkeys now. You might wait too long. You might not be able to get your turkey. Then what are you going to do, huh? What are you going to do on Thanksgiving? You going to make a meatloaf? Nobody wants to eat meatloaf. Go buy your turkey. And I missed you guys on Monday. I had a doctor's appointment that went long. I had my three-month checkup. I was there. I made an early appointment figuring I'll get home with plenty of time to have dinner and prepare for Monday Night Raw. 2:30 in the afternoon. Didn't get out of there until after 6 o'clock. I didn't get to see you on Monday. You're going to be getting a lot of me this week, though. You got me tonight. You got me tomorrow. You got me Friday. You got me Saturday. You got the podcast on Sunday. I'm back next Monday. That's a lot. Also want to, now I mentioned tomorrow. You might be going tomorrow. Why would he be streaming on a Thursday? When does he ever stream on a Thursday? Well, tomorrow is a very special stream. Because tomorrow we are going to be doing, it's a combination stream. We're going to be doing a watch-along, 20th anniversary of the very first Elimination Chamber match from Survivor Series 2002, 20 years to the day tomorrow. Some might say still the best Elimination Chamber match. So not only are we going to be doing that as a watch-along, but that is going to double as a 15-year anniversary celebration. We're going to hang out. We're going to celebrate 15 years. I hope you'll celebrate with me. That's tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern. Mark that down. Tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern. Bring those super chats. Bring those questions. I am opening the live chat for everybody, not just channel members this time. Everybody is welcome to come and celebrate and participate. Maybe we'll drink. I don't know. We'll have some fun tomorrow night. But just a little programming note there, because usually we're not live on Thursdays. This week we will be. So let's talk about Dynamite. Dynamite opened tonight with the Ring of Honor World Champion, Chris Jericho, and Sammy Guevara taking on Bryan Danielson and Claudio Castagnoli, the four men in Saturday's ROH four-way ROH championship match. By the way, Sportsaholic mentioned this to me on Twitter. Sportsaholic pointed out that Bryan Danielson and William Regal came out of the heel tunnel. Did I notice that? I did notice it. Bryan Danielson has been coming out of the heel tunnel now for weeks, maybe months, or at least most weeks he is. So I'm kind of amused by it. You know, he never really did anything to turn babyface, if you think about it. So he still comes out of the heel tunnel. Regal coming out of the heel tunnel, you know, it may or may not mean anything. That probably does not represent anything, but you know, Daniel said, and by the way, you know, Regal, he has a podcast called Gentleman's Villain, right? That's what he calls his podcast. So Regal always has thought of himself as a villain. That's not really a surprise. So again, I would not read too much into which tunnel they are coming out of. So the heels went after the left eye of Bryan Danielson that got opened up on TV last week, went after the injured eye that was from his match with Sammy Guevara, best two out of three falls. That was all before the first break. Sammy had the referee distracted. Chris Jericho took his baseball bat when the referee wasn't looking and jabbed it right in Danielson's eye. Danielson came back after the break. He put Jericho down with a flying elbow. He tagged out. Claudio came in, and the guy's like a machine, man. This guy, he is a machine. He came in. He worked over both opponents. He tossed Sammy into Jericho in the corner. Claudio threw some uppercuts at Jericho. Then he hit him with a running clothesline. Hit Jericho with a corkscrew springboard uppercut for a near fall. So Claudio was setting up Jericho for the big swing. And Sammy came in. He broke it up. Jericho put Claudio in the walls of Jericho. And Sammy was pulling the bottom rope away so Claudio couldn't reach the rope. Danielson is on the other side of the ring. He sees this. He comes over. He grabs Sammy. He runs him right into the ring post. Quickly jumps up top. Climbs up. Comes off with a missile drop kick to Jericho and breaks the hold. So Danielson and Sammy end up in the ring together. Nose to nose, face to face, just like last week. Danielson drops Sammy with a rolling elbow, started throwing kicks at him. Sammy ducked the final kick and he gouged at Danielson's injured eye. Guevara hit Danielson with a running knee and he went for the go to hell. Brian escaped. He tried to put Sammy in the lapel lock. Sammy, though, scrambled to reach the ropes. So Danielson placed Guevara on top. He was setting up for a superplex. And Sammy starts biting his forehead. Sammy hit a cutter off the ropes, and then he tags in Jericho. So here comes Chris Jericho. He hits Danielson with a lion salt. Jericho had the pin. Claudio broke it up. Claudio took out Sammy with a pop-up uppercut. Danielson and Jericho, they both tried for charging attacks at the exact same time, and they collided in midair for a double down. Danielson made the tag. Jericho was more worried about getting to his baseball bat than he was tagging in Sammy Guevara. So the first little sign of potential trouble here between the members of the Jericho Appreciation Society. For the finish, Claudio caught Jericho coming at him with the baseball bat. He double-legged him. He took him down, had him in position for the giant swing, and he took him around. He took him for a ride. The whole time that Jericho was swinging around, he had the baseball bat in his hand. Can you imagine if he let go of that baseball bat? That would have been bad. I would not have wanted to be sitting in the first three rows if he let go of that baseball bat. So he's got him, I don't know how many revolutions. I mean, he had him for what felt like maybe 12 to 15 spins, right? He was spinning this guy round and round and round and round. And finally, he lets go. And he starts to put him in the sharpshooter, and Jericho still has the bat in his hand, and he goes to use it, and Claudio takes the bat and pulls it out of his hand, continues over, gets him in the sharpshooter, has the baseball bat, and rests it on his shoulder like he's posing with it, and Jericho has no choice but to tap out. And so Claudio and Danielson get the win. Claudio is sitting there with that bat resting on his shoulder, looking like a boss. I like that finish. I liked the finish. I thought it was a good opener to the show. And it was a taste of what we can expect in this four-way match on Saturday. And there's a bunch of matches in the card on Saturday that have the potential to steal the show. This is one of them. You look at the four men who were involved here. Jericho's been having pretty good matches. Claudio is, you know, superhuman. Danielson is one of the best in the world. Sammy really showed what he can do in that match last week. He put those four in the ring together. And we should have a pretty damn good match. I have no idea what happened to Daniel Garcia. Unless he's injured. He has just dropped off the face of the earth. Was he even on the show tonight? I mean, look, I'm not complaining. Oh my God, what am I going to do without Daniel Garcia? But I'm just wondering. He was featured so prominently. We used to joke on these streams, main event Garcia. He has more main events than most main eventers have in this company. And the story seemed to be building, you know, with him and Jericho. But then, like, he's just vanished. Is he on Dark? Like, where is he? I don't know. I guess because he doesn't have a match at Full Gear, they just figured there's no point in featuring him on TV. But I thought it was weird that they wouldn't even book him in the match, that they had Sammy in there and not him. So I don't know. I guess he's been on Dark, but, you know, he had so much screen time on Dynamite and then nothing for the last several weeks. It's very strange. But of course, we have the question also heading into the match on Saturday. Jericho has said, Sammy, I know you'll do the right thing. If push comes to shove, I know you'll lay down for me. I'm sure that they'll build to a spot where he wants him to, and then Sammy doesn't. That's I think one of the big spots they'll probably build to in the match on Saturday. We'll see. But I like that Claudio got the win because he's not winning at Full Gear. We already know that. He's not winning it. I'd be very, very surprised if he wins the title back on Saturday. Not impossible, but next to impossible. I can't see that happening. But him winning here makes me wonder, you know, if he doesn't take the pin on Saturday, they have a Ring of Honor pay-per-view coming up in less than a month. December 10th, the same day as the NXT show with these new Iron Challenges, Iron Chef, whatever the hell it is. Same day, Ring of Honor is doing a pay-per-view that afternoon, Final Battle. Jericho's going to need an opponent. Would they go back to Jericho and Claudio one-on-one? To me, that would just feel like a step back. You know, you're going to have them in the ring this weekend. I would think they got to come up with someone new for that show, but him making Jericho tap out makes me think that maybe he's in the running for that spot. So they aired a video, and we've seen these kind of vignettes in the past with Darby Allin, where he's in the desert somewhere. We see footage of somebody in a body bag crowd surfing at a concert. And they cut to a shot of the side of the road somewhere in the middle of the desert. We don't know where. Somewhere in the desert. And all of a sudden we see Sting, and he picks up the body bag and he loads it into the back seat of his car. And he drives off. And as the car is driving, we see in the backseat this person unzips the body bag. And, of course, in the body bag is Darby Allin. Because Jeff Jarrett made the comment, I'm going to put you in a body bag and I'm going to put Sting in a body bag as well. So he crawls out of the body bag, climbs into the front seat next to Sting. We see Sting, who, by the way, is in full gear. No pun intended. He's in his gear. He's in full Sting gear, I should say. Makeup. Just driving down the highway. I like to imagine that's how Sting drives around. He's just in his gear with the gloves and the makeup. The hair's all messed up. I'd like to think he does his banking that way. He does his food shopping. He does his laundry. Fucking paupers like me still go to the laundromat. I'm sure Sting has a full laundromat in his basement. But anyway, Sting turns and he looks into the camera. And he says that at Full Gear, it's going to be showtime. So we cut back to the building. In the back, we have Satnam Singh, Jay Lethal, and Sanjay Dutt in the back. And Sanjay Dutt cuts a promo. He doesn't say much before he gets interrupted by Jeff Jarrett. Jarrett comes walking in, all black, with the black hat. He's got the guitar. And Jarrett says that, you know, he and Sting first stepped in the ring against each other 24 years ago. That would have been back in WCW. And then they feuded in TNA in 2004. A lot of battles many years back with Sting and Jeff Jarrett. So they're no strangers to each other. He said Sting likes to say that it's showtime, but at Full Gear, it'll be his last time. Let's hope that's the case for Jarrett as well, and he stays in the back. They kept this short, short and sweet. Short is better. We had Anthony Bowens, one half of the AEW Tag Team Champions, the Acclaimed, going one-on-one with Swerve Strickland, one half of the number one contenders for the AEW tag team titles at Full Gear. Max Caster rapped about Swerve and Keith Lee not being special and how they're about to get burned like Jay Leno. Ouch. Yeah, for those who don't know, I'm sure most of you do by now, but Jay Leno, he's a big car guy. Big car guy. He's got his own car show, I think, on CNBC. He's got a whole garage, 130-something cars, classic cars. He's a big collector. And Leno was in his garage the other day. He was working on a 1907 steam car. So all the people online were making fun of him. Oh, I bet it was a Tesla. I bet it was an EV. It was an electric vehicle. No, motherfucker. It was a 1907 steam car. And he was working on it, and there was a gasoline explosion in his face. So his face got badly burned. I think his hand got badly burned. He suffered third-degree burns on the left side of his face. He's still in the hospital. He had surgery. He had skin grafts on his face. Pretty serious stuff. So that sounds brutal. Tony Schiavone did give him a shout-out on commentary after Caster rapped about him. And said on commentary, you know, we send well wishes. And he worked with Leno back in 98. That would have been back in WCW when they brought Leno in to do the tag team match. It was Jay Leno and DDP against Hollywood Hogan and Eric Bischoff at Road Wild. Some things in WCW history are better left forgotten. That would be one of those things. Before the match started, they showed the world premiere of the Acclaim's brand new music video called A Hand for a Hand, which included the recreation of the Captain Insano scene from The Waterboy. Now, we heard about this months ago. I talked about the fact that Tony Khan had worked to secure the rights. Paul White talked about this in many interviews that he did. Tony Khan got the rights to the Captain Insano character so that Paul White could reprise the role of Captain Insano. We had no idea when or in what form it would take. I think we probably would have seen it by now, but you know, he just had surgery again recently. He's had so many hip surgeries. He's got a lot of problems with his hip. So I know he had another hip surgery in the last few months, so that's why, you know, Big Show's been on the sidelines, just pretty much doing commentary and nothing on TV physical. But they have the rights to the character. So this was the first time that we saw them use the character here. And they did this scene where the Acclaimed were with him, you know, the backstage set at an AW show. They were dressed up in suits like they were reporters. And then watching at home on TV were two guys who were sitting there impersonating Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. The guy impersonating Swerve Strickland had a Repo Man mask on. You know, they'd be calling him Sneaky Swerve. Right, Mark Sterling was calling him Sneaky Swerve, so I guess that's the idea, Sneaky Swerve. But he had the Repo Man mask, the Zorro mask on, and they dial this Fisher-Price telephone, and they call, and the Acclaim, oh, we got a caller, and they said something stupid, and they all start laughing, the Acclaimed and Captain Insano. So we got the close-up of Captain Insano doing the belly laugh. So I thought that was, look, if you're a Waterboy fan, if you remember Captain Insano from the movie, I thought that was a nice little callback there. But then, you know, we had the rest of the video. Max Caster was doing his rap, and the two guys impersonating Swerve and Keith Lee were just acting like goofs, you know, training for their big match at Full Gear. And the video ended with a shot of the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn walking and skipping along the beach. Now, usually a segment like this, we wouldn't even see this on TV. Because this you know, went on for several minutes. They gave this a lot of airtime here. Normally, they would throw this on fucking YouTube or one of their social channels. So whether you like the rap or not, I like the fact that they aired the full segment on TV. These are the kind of personality segments, character, you know, character-driven stuff that so many times they do some really good stuff and we rarely get to see it on TV. They usually just throw it up on Twitter or something. You know, and you could say, well, it'll get more eyeballs on social media. Maybe that's true, but there's stuff that should be used on the television show sometimes that isn't. So I was actually happy that they aired the full thing here on TV because so many times something like this just wouldn't make the air. So Swerve made his entrance. No Keith Lee on this show. Swerve comes out. Billy Gunn tackles him on the ramp. He's still upset over, I guess, Swerve giving him hooks for hands. So referees come out and they're trying to get him off of Swerve. They end up sending Billy Gunn and Max Caster to the back. So now there's nobody around. There's no Billy Gunn. There's no Max Caster. There's no Keith Lee. It's just straight up one-on-one. Swerve grabbed Anthony Bowens. He picked him up. He dropped him. Back suplex right on the top part of the barricade, right at the head of the aisleway. Bowens fell backwards into the fans, into the front row, and they cut to a picture-in-picture break. And we can see in the little box during the picture-in-picture, once Bowens climbed out of the crowd, he was favoring his arm. And that's what Swerve was working over. After the break, Strickland had Bowens face down. He pulled his left arm back. He stomped on it. Swerve followed that up with a Swerve stomp off the top. Only got a near fall. Bowens kicked out. Bowens tried for a schoolboy. Strickland again wrenched the arm, and he hit the JML driver for the win. This match went on for a while, but I gave you the nuts and bolts. That's what you need to worry about. Swerve picks up the clean win. I thought the match, it was an average match, but it wasn't about these two going out there and putting on a mat clinic. This was about telling a story where Swerve Strickland is one half of the challengers on Saturday. He worked over Bowens' arm. And so now we'll see if this carries over into the pay-per-view. If he comes out nursing an arm injury or his arm wrapped up, We'll see if they tell that story, but that's what this was. This was more about them telling a story and maybe giving the champions a handicap going into the pay-per-view. Even though half the story was told during an ad break. But such is the case for a lot of matches on this show.
Yay! Yay!
Hey, Tommy!
Yay,
Tommy Seville with the $21 Super Chat. 27 Canadian. See, in that Super Chat, I'm not saying, yeah, I'm going, hey, hey, like the Canadians do. Thank you, Tommy. Tommy Seville, I will be answering all your questions and reading your Super Chats a little bit later on. Thank you. Tony Schiavone was in the ring to introduce the Ring of Honor television champion, the second Ring of Honor champion that we have had on this show so far tonight, Samoa Joe, who attacked Wardlow last week and seemingly turned heel. Joe got cheers coming to the ring. He got chants of Joe, but he got the crowd to boo him midway through this promo because Samoa Joe is a professional, and Samoa Joe knows exactly what he's doing. He knows how to work a crowd. He said that Wardlow paid the ultimate price for running his mouth. He said that he refuses to wait around to be a victim like most of the fans in this building, and they booed. He said that he saved himself. He said if Tony Schiavone or anybody else has a problem with it, they could take it up with him. Powerhouse Hobbs came out. He walked, about midway down the ramp. He had a microphone. And he said that Joe was late to the party because he's the one who has been kicking Wardlow's ass now for the last several weeks. Hobbs said that he would go to the ring. He was going to kick Joe's ass. And Joe told him, if you bump your knuckles as good as you bump your gums, come get some. So fucking. He's so fucking good. This is the Samoa Joe that I miss. We don't get to see this Samoa Joe enough on TV. He walks around. He's got a belt over his shoulder. Right? He's a champion. So people would say, what do you want? The guy's a champion. The guy's a champion on a brand that barely exists. I want to see Samoa Joe on this show more often. I'm not talking about Rampage. I'm not talking about Dark. I'm not talking about Ring of Honor pay-per-views when they actually have them. We need more Samoa Joe on Dynamite. That's what we need. The Joe, you know, nobody talks shit like Samoa Joe. It's why people still to this day talk about the feud. It was just a one-match program. It didn't go very long, but the program he had with Brock Lesnar 5 years ago, people still talk about it. There's a reason why Brock Lesnar supposedly wanted to lose the Universal title to Samoa Joe. Nobody had gone head-to-head with Brock up to that point the way that Joe did. And even after they had their match, that segment on Raw, I think it was the very next night. He had Roman Reigns in the ring, Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman in the ring, and there's Samoa Joe, and Samoa Joe's getting right up in his face. Brock's laughing. Samoa Joe's saying, you look at me when I'm talking to you. And the crowd was like, oh, because he has this believability, this ass-kicker believability about him that very few people have. So, like I said, nobody can talk shit like Samoa Joe. This was Samoa Joe that I enjoy watching. So Hobbs was coming down to the ring. Hobbs said he was going to come down and throw down with Joe, and here he comes. He's about to climb into the ring. He gets distracted, though, by Wardlow's music. And like a couple of dumbasses, of course, the heels turn around to look at the aisle. There's no Wardlow. Joe has his back turned in the ring. Here comes Wardlow out of the crowd. He slides into the ring. Finally, Joe turns around. Wardlow spears him down to the mat. Hobbs joins in on the fight. Half the locker room spills out. I saw the Butcher and the Blade out there. They're trying to break these three guys up. Wardlow fought off some of the wrestlers, and then he hit a cannonball dive out over the top rope, wiped out about seven or eight guys, and then got back into the ring, and he posed. So I thought this was a good segment. It is official. We are getting a triple threat for the TNT title on Saturday. I was hoping it would be Wardlow and Hobbs one-on-one because the focus should really be on building Powerhouse Hobbs. It's been too long. Now is the time to start building Hobbs up a little bit more. But, you know, Joe went out there and he ran his mouth. And so now Samoa Joe will be part of the match on Saturday, and we'll see, because we have that Ring of Honor pay-per-view coming up on December 10th. I would not at all be surprised to see Joe defending that Ring of Honor TV title against Wardlow on that show, which means we may see Hobbs eke out a win on Saturday. I would much rather see Hobbs just kind of win straight up I could see him walking out with that championship on Saturday, but only because, you know, he, you know, something happens between Joe and Wardlow. Maybe Joe chokes out Wardlow. He's unconscious, and Hobbs gives Joe a spine buster and then crawls over and steals the pin on Wardlow. And, you know, he wins the title, but I would much rather see him win the title straight up. And I just don't think that's going to happen. Let's talk about Britt Baker backstage. And she was all by herself. We had Britt. We had no Jamie Hayter. We had no Rebel. We had no Tony Schiavone. It was just Britt Baker looking dead in the camera. And she was addressing her opponent at Full Gear. She is going to be stepping into the ring with Saraya, who is wrestling her first match in 5 years. And Saraya cut a hell of a promo on Britt Baker last week. Britt Baker, for her part, cut a hell of a promo. I said last week, I thought that was one of the best things on the entire show. Second week in a row, I can say that about a Britt Baker segment. I cannot say that about Saraya. Because Saraya actually had a quick promo a little bit later on that was not nearly as good as this. But Britt Baker was in the back. And she said that she took issue with Saraya telling her that she does not have what it takes to be a star. She said that Saraya reminded everybody that she's only been on television for 3 years. She said that she went from being a happy-to-be-there girl to being a confident and tenacious face of the company. She said that she became her own role model over these 3 years. She said that she wasn't handed anything that Saraya wasn't handed, an opportunity. She said that she ran with it. Now every fan in the crowd says DMD right along with her. She said that she has not wrestled at Madison Square Garden. Saraya, remember, Saraya said that she has wrestled in all these different buildings. Actually, Saraya last week, I have to mention this. Saraya in her promo actually messed up. She said last week, I've wrestled Madison Square Garden. I've wrestled the Tokyo Dome. I've wrestled Budokan. She did not wrestle the Tokyo Dome. It was a different venue in Japan. I don't remember exactly which one she was trying to make reference to, but she did acknowledge that she made a mistake. And she did not, in fact, work the Tokyo Dome. And I knew that. I knew she didn't work the Tokyo Dome because had Saraya worked the Tokyo Dome, Dave Meltzer would have given her those 7 stars. And he didn't do that. So she said that, yeah, you know, I may not have wrestled in Madison Square Garden, but I'll tell you where I did wrestle. I wrestled at Daly's Place. That was back during the pandemic when they had all those shows there every single week. She said that they kept the pro wrestling fire burning during that time, and that's something that Saraya wouldn't know anything about. She said that she respects Saraya, but the business owes her nothing and has moved on. She said that she won't let Saraya belittle her because she is stuck in the past. She said that she is the heart and soul and the pulse of AEW. If you think you're above that, you can get the hell out. This is my house. Sumo Hall, that's what it was. Original Huggies in the chat, I believe you are correct. This is the best promo of Britt Baker's career. This right here, I thought, was her best work on the mic. She spoke with passion. She spoke with conviction. She was focused. She wasn't all over the place. She wasn't interested in one-liners and insults and, you know, a lot of the stuff that we typically see, you know, in her promos and in a lot of heel promos. She was annoyed. She was offended by what Saraya had to say about her. Here's this woman coming into the company that I've been part of, that I've helped build, and I've been one of the faces of now for the last 3 years. How dare you? And so she took it right back to her. Whatever Saraya threw in her face last week, she threw it right back at her this week, and I thought this was great. But what was odd about it, the weird part about this, it was a babyface promo. This was a total babyface promo. And you're heading into a pay-per-view where you're wrestling this woman who, all this fanfare about Saraya wrestling for the first time in 5 years, the story is really about her trying to make her big comeback. And so Britt Baker now is here making some very valid points, but cutting a very babyface promo. And so now I think you're in a situation where, come Full Gear, you're going to have a mixed reaction. The fans will be very happy to see Saraya back in the ring, but I don't think it's going to be 100% Saraya, you know, cheers and all Britt Baker boos, or, you know, 90-10 in favor of Saraya. It might be 60-40 or 70-30 in favor of Saraya. So the crowd reaction on Saturday to me is going to be one of the more interesting things about that match to see how split the crowd really does end up being. But This was a total babyface promo, I thought. Renee interviewed Saraya backstage later on in the show, and she was talking like there was somebody off camera with a fucking countdown clock that we couldn't see and a gun pointed at her. Like, if you don't finish this promo in 15 seconds, I'm going to blow your head off. So she was talking a million miles a minute, trying to get all of her shit in. And the closing remark in the promo was basically, I want to be here. I want to be here. I want to be where the best talent is, and the best talent is in AEW. That essentially was her promo. So, Britt Baker wins in the promo battle tonight. We had Death Triangle, Pac, Penta, Rey Fénix defending their trios titles against the team of Top Flight, reunited for the first time in a long time. Darius and Dante Martin and their partner, AR Fox, making his Dynamite debut. I know that AR Fox has been on Dark, but first time we've seen him on Dynamite. I'm very happy that we got to see AR Fox on this show. I became a fan of his, watching him in Lucha Underground and the matches that he had with, you know, and of course the final match that he had with Killshot, where Killshot left a piece of himself lying in the ring. So after that, it's just seemed like he dropped off the face of the earth. AR Fox is somebody who's been around for a very long time and has never really had a shot in a major promotion on television. And so it would be nice to see more of him. I'm hoping tonight will not be the final time we see him on Dynamite. So I was happy to see him on the show. Now, I mentioned Top Flight reunited. Darius Martin had missed about 13 months with a torn ACL. Very serious injury. Logan Paul thought he tore his ACL at Crown Jewel. We just found out it was not a torn ACL. The other injuries that were reported were accurate, the meniscus and the MCL, but he was able to avoid an ACL tear, and that's good because when you tear your ACL, if it's a full tear, you're out for a very long time, usually a minimum of 9 months. Very serious injury. So he heals up after all that missed time. He comes back. I think he literally wrestled one match on television. And then he ended up in a very bad car accident. And he was right back on the shelf. He had to have surgery, some really serious injuries as a result of that car accident. So now, this was his first match back in over 200 days. His first match in 204 days since the car accident. My hope is that he can just stay healthy. If I'm him, I'm keeping eyes in the back of my head. I'm walking down the street. I'm making sure a fucking tree branch doesn't fall on me. I'm making sure, you know, we're heading into the winter. I don't slip on a patch of ice. I mean, if this guy didn't have bad luck, he wouldn't have any luck at all. So hopefully he can stay healthy now, because Top Flight, you know, they could do some damage in the tag team division, but they have to be healthy and they have to be together. Otherwise, we're just going to end up with another Dante Martin singles run where Dante Martin cuts promos on TV saying, I look forward to wrestling, you know, whoever his opponent's going to be, I'm going to win. And then he goes out there and he loses. That's Dante's MO. Dante Martin has had a lot of television time over the past year, year and a half. And you could probably count on one hand the number of matches, singles matches, that he has won and still have fingers left over. And I'm not talking about Dark and Dark Elevation. So it's good to see Darius Martin back here. A lot of crazy moves and dives in this match, as you would expect. There was a cool spot where Top Flight tossed Pac into a cutter from AR Fox. I thought that was cool. Later on, Fox hit a 450 splash on Rey Fénix. He went for the pin. Pac, though, broke it up. Fénix took out Top Flight with a dive, and then Pac hit the black arrow on AR Fox and pinned him to retain the trio's titles. Fun match. A lot of crazy stuff, hard to keep track of, but what you would expect, I think, from the people who were in this match. You get Rey Fénix in there with Top Flight, AR Fox. You knew that it was going to be a very high-flying affair, a lot of dives, a lot of quick moves and counters. After it was over, Pac got the mic. So you have all three trios champs in the ring. Alex Abrahantes is with them. Pac takes the mic, and he asks the fans, he goes, you think the three of us are stupid? Because we know what's going on. We've seen the videos that have been airing on TV over the last several weeks, making reference to the Elite videos that we've been seeing. He says, if there are certain individuals who think that they can make their triumphant return at Full Gear and get the best of Death Triangle, they are mistaken. He told them to bring the heat because Death Triangle doesn't run from anybody. All of a sudden, we see a video, we hear a clock, and we see a clock, and it's counting down. And then we see the Full Gear graphic. And on one side, we have the Trios champs, Pac, Penta, Rey Fénix. Nothing on the other side. And then slowly it fills in, and it fills in with Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. And the crowd in the building sees it, and for the first time all night, they really reacted like they were happy to see something on this show, and they gave the Elite a big reaction. Pac said, finally, some transparency in this company. He said that you may think you're coming for Death Triangle, but we have been waiting for the Elite. And so as predicted, there it is. We have our Trios title match for the pay-per-view. Will be Death Triangle defending against the very first Trios champs. Didn't have much of a run. They won them, immediately were stripped. But the Elite is back. They will challenge for those titles on Saturday. Now we wait and see, as I said before, what the reaction is going to be. They're going to get a big reaction, but you know, do they get peppered with CM Punk chants? We had 7 fucking years of CM Punk chants in WWE. I'm sure there'll be some in New Jersey this weekend. But I also think the Elite against Death Triangle, I mean, that would have made for, you know, an incredible final in the Trios title tournament. So let's not lose sight of the fact that we have 2 great teams that are going to be stepping into the ring and have not wrestled each other before in this type of match, who are probably going to go out there and tear the fucking house down. You know that Omega and the Bucks, they've been ice. They've been on the sidelines now for, what, 2 months, 3 months? They have been waiting 2 months, right? They've been waiting to get back in the ring. They've been sitting on their ass. Nick Jackson's been icing his eye. Kenny Omega's been waiting for the bite marks to heal on his fucking arm. They have been waiting to get back in the ring and just go back to work. Kenny Omega was gone for like a year. Almost a year. He had only first come back. He only wrestled a few matches on TV. What did he wrestle on TV? Twice? Maybe 3 matches total? And then he was right back on the shelf. So I'm sure these guys are dying to get back in the ring. It'll be good for Tony Khan to have couple of big names back. He already lost one big name who's probably never coming back. He's got other people who are out hurt. Thunder Rosa's still out hurt, right? A bunch of people. Miro, I've given up on trying to figure out what the hell happened to him. House of Black should be back soon, but they've been gone. So it'll be good for him to get some big names back. Adam Cole, we don't know what his status is, but at least he's getting the Elite back. Ricky Starks was in the back. Quick promo from Ricky Starks, and he had a message for Lance Archer. He and Lance Archer were supposed to have a match in the World Title Eliminator Tournament on Friday. That match did not happen. They did an angle on Dynamite last Wednesday where Lance Archer was in the back, and he beat up Ricky Starks. And so, therefore, they could not do the match on Rampage on Friday. So I just assumed, okay, we're going to get the match tonight. And then I realized as I was putting together the rundown for the video today, and I'm listing the matches, I said, wait a minute. They don't have the Ricky Starks match listed. That's kind of strange. Because we have a couple of semifinal matches that have to take place on Friday if they're going to do the finals on Saturday. And sure enough, we had a match coming up after this, actually, with Ethan Page and Bandido. But there was no match with Ricky Starks and Lance Archer. Ricky Starks said that he is challenging Lance Archer. They're going to wrestle on Rampage on Friday. And he told Archer, he said, let's start backstage with him wrapping his braids around his hands and dog walking his big ass around. But the winner of this match between Ricky Starks and Lance Archer, which is going to be Ricky Starks, still has to wrestle Brian Cage. And there was no mention of this at all on television. They did a very poor job of explaining. Unless I missed something. And if I missed something, then somebody will correct me. But I don't think they addressed this at all. So we're going to get Archer and Starks on Friday. My assumption is that they're not going to do the cage match on the same show, the Brian Cage match. So I guess if there's a pre-show on Saturday, maybe they'll do Starks and Cage on the pre-show, but then Starks has to wrestle later on in the show. It's very weird. The timing of all this is very weird. But I still expect that we're going to get to the final that I predicted last week. My mind hasn't changed on that. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp Therapy Online. There have been times in my life where I have had to take care of a loved one and they were going through a rough time. And, you know, it could be hard to know what to say and what to do sometimes in those situations. You wish there was a handbook or a manual that you could refer to for the right answers. Life doesn't come with a user manual. That's where therapy can help. BetterHelp has connected over 3 million people with licensed therapists. It's convenient, secure, and accessible anywhere, 100% online. If you don't think therapy's for you, that's because you've probably never tried it. So keep an open mind about it. If you are dealing with self-esteem issues, maybe you've been depressed about something, maybe you're feeling overwhelmed, whatever it may be, don't be shy to open up and talk to somebody. That's what their therapists are there for. And again, it's all done online. You don't have to drive to somebody's office and find a parking spot and then sit in a waiting room and pretend you're reading a magazine when you're really just looking at the people who are sitting around wondering what's wrong with them and judging them. You don't have to worry about any of that. You don't even have to go on camera to see them if you don't want to. You set the ground rules with your therapist. BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service. They've matched millions of people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists. You just fill out a short questionnaire to match with one. And if you try it and you don't think things are clicking, it's very easy to switch to a different therapist that you do feel comfortable with. Everyone deserves to feel their best. If you're feeling stuck, get unstuck with BetterHelp. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/solomonster. That's better. HELP.com/Solomonster. By the way, one quick note, being that I mentioned Lance Archer. And actually, when we see Archer on Friday, we may see Jake Roberts back with him. Jake Roberts is on his way back to TV. For those who don't know, Jake Roberts had, well, I mean, what has he not done over the years? Jake Roberts, for many, many, many years, did not take care of his health. But he smokes. I don't know if he still does, but up until recently, he was a hardcore smoker. So he has COPD. He has a lot of breathing problems, and it caught up to him. And so he's been on oxygen for quite some time. Even if you watch clips from the DDP Snake Pit podcast that he does with DDP, you might see he has the tubes going up his nose. He usually has a can of oxygen, a tank of oxygen next to him. So he's been on oxygen for a while. And he posted an update on Twitter today, a very positive update. He said, off oxygen for good. Standing tall, doing great, at AEW again. Sweet life I'm living. So that is very good news for Jake Roberts. Very happy that he is off the oxygen. And so we should see him back in Lance Archer's corner. The three times a year that we see Lance Archer on TV, Jake Roberts will earn his pay and he will make his three annual television appearances. I mentioned the World Title Eliminator Tournament. We had a semifinal match. Ethan Page against Bandido. Bandido, who has officially signed with AEW. Been a lot of reports about Bandido now for weeks. He's going to sign, but he hasn't put pen to paper yet. WWE's interested in him, so we're not sure what he's going to do. Then we heard he has signed. Then the update was, well, he hasn't actually signed, but he's given them a verbal commitment. Then we got an update that he has signed. I said this on Sunday. He's like, remember the whole Bram meme from TNA for so many years? Where it was constant daily updates. Bram has re-signed with TNA. This is becoming a new meme. Every fucking day, Bandido has signed. How many contracts can one person sign with AEW? But Bandido is officially signed. For anyone wondering what his contractual status is, he is officially signed. This match, the crowd was mostly quiet, putting it politely, for the first half of this match. To the credit of both of these men, by the time this thing was over, the crowd was into it. They got the crowd into it, so they did their job. Ethan Page tried a stalling vertical suplex early on in the match. Bandido turned it into one of his own, though. Page grabbed the referee. That allowed Stokely Hathaway to trip up Bandido, and Ethan Page got a cheap shot in. Bandido was able to hit a basement drop kick that sent Page crashing to the floor. Bandido then climbed what he does best. He climbed up to the top, but he climbed right on the top of the ring post. And from the top of the ring post, he hit a moonsault out onto Ethan Page on the floor. Back inside, Bandido hit a tornillo for a close two count. Page then blocked the 21-plex, which is Bandito's finish, and hit a cutter for two. Ethan Page went for an avalanche ego's edge from the middle rope on the inside. But when he threw him up into the air for the move, Bandido turned it into a Hurricane Rana, and he took Ethan Page over. And then he picked him up in a one-handed gorilla press slam. Bandido has a way of just getting the crowd to their feet. He did it in the match with Chris Jericho all those weeks ago. People who might not have even known who he is, they're looking at this guy going, I don't know who this is. He's wearing a mask. You know, I don't know where this guy is from or what he's about. And then you watch him work, and he gets the people into it. Because he's a great fucking talent. That's why everybody was interested in him. That's why AEW wanted to sign him. That's why Tony Khan, after he had that match with Chris Jericho all those weeks ago, the ROH match, Tony Khan came out after the show was over, and he was like, hugging him practically, saying, we don't want Bandido, we need Bandido, we need Bandido. And I'm like, Tony, calm down. Tony was a little, he was into the good stuff that night. But there's a lot of interest for Bandido, because he's a great talent. So he was getting the crowd into it here late in the match. Bandido hit a top rope frog splash for two. Had a lot of people convinced that that was the finish. Each man cut the other off. While they were up in the ropes, Ethan Page hit a top rope body slam. He just picked him up and he flung him. He just flung Bandido off from the middle rope. And then he followed that with a diving shoulder tackle. Then he set him up for the ego's edge. And he dropped him and he pinned Bandido to advance to the finals of the tournament. I stand by my pick for a Ricky Starks, Ethan Page final in this tournament at Full Gear. I do wish they would have left Bandido out of this, though, if he was going to lose. I expected Ethan Page to win, but Bandido just signed. And even in the match that got him a contract, he lost that match too. He lost to Chris Jericho. So now he signs with the company, and he loses to Ethan Page. I would not be beating Bandido like this. You just signed this guy. You want to build him up. You want to make him a major attraction. I would have kept him out of this tournament. If he wasn't at least going all the way to the finals, I would not have put him in this situation in the first place. But Ethan Page moving on was hardly a surprise. We had Toni Storm against Anna Jay in an interim women's world title eliminator. Originally, it was supposed to be Toni Storm against The Bunny. The Bunny was replaced, we found out earlier today, due to illness. So, I don't know, maybe she ate a bad carrot, I don't know, but she was replaced by Anna Jay in this match. The crowd in the first half of Ethan Page and Bandido was very quiet, and then they got them back into it, or they got them into it in the second half. The crowd was quiet, and there was no getting them into this one. You could hear a pin drop in this building when they made their entrance, when the bell rang. These people did not care about Anna Jay. And that's understandable, because why would they? Once the bell rings, Anna Jay's a beautiful girl. Once the bell rings, what reason do they have? When do we even see Anna Jay in the ring on television? She's been relegated to background noise in the Jericho Appreciation Society. She's a cartoon character now. So I get the crowd not giving a shit about Anna Jay, but Toni Storm is your interim women's champion. And the reaction that she got tonight was alarming. Like, nobody cared. So, they had a match. They went to the picture-in-picture and break 90 seconds into this. They traded forearms coming out of the break. Storm got the better of it. She hit a Thez press. She got a fisherman suplex for a near fall. Toni went for a Texas cloverleaf. Anna Jay got to the ropes. Storm hit Jay with a hip attack that sent Anna to the floor. Storm followed. She ended up getting run right into the ring steps. Back inside, Jay went for her Queen Slayer sleeper hold, but Storm avoided it and drop-kicked Anna into the corner. She hit another hip attack, and then she applied the cloverleaf for the win. After the match, Jamie Hayter made her entrance with Britt Baker and Rebel. They walked out with her, but Hayter marched down to the ring. She got inside. She confronted Toni Storm face to face, indicated that she wanted to talk to her. Storm held up the title. Hayter gave her a shove, and then she left. This was totally forgettable. It was someone to feed to Toni Storm, though, give her a win heading into her defense on Saturday. The confrontation with her and Jamie Hayter, I mean, nothing to speak of here. We know there's a history between these two. They've put together a video package for it. This is a match that, honestly, this would have benefited from the sit-down interview treatment, especially with them having a history together. You do a pre-tape segment. You get them in the back either with Jim Ross, who's usually good in those types of interviews. Renee, obviously, is very good at that. You actually get him in there with Renee. Renee sits down with Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter. Let them talk about their history. Let them talk about their match on Saturday. Instead, they had Jamie Hayter come out. She just said something to her, shoved her, and walked away. Lazy. I thought that was very, very lazy. And didn't do anything more to get me interested in this match, but it's going to be a very big match for Jamie Hayter. It's not a match that I expect her to win, but it's a match where this could be a breakout performance for her in the ring. She already has the fans cheering for her and chanting her name when she comes out. But this right here, this match here, could be a breakout night for her, even if she loses. So it's going to be a big night. And I think they will go out there and have a very good match. Hopefully the crowd in New Jersey on Saturday is more up and energetic for it than the crowd was tonight in Connecticut. And the show closed with words from Jon Moxley and MJF ahead of their AEW World Championship match in the main event of Full Gear this Saturday. Moxley and William Regal were out first through the crowd. Moxley got in the ring and he grabbed the microphone. And he said that he is the best professional wrestler on the earth, which actually got some boos from the fans in the building. He said that he was the best pro wrestler and they booed. Very interesting. Said that he talks shit and he backs it up. And he has defined the AEW World Championship. He says that he is literally sick in the head. He is addicted to the rush of adrenaline, of pain, and being in fights. Says he loves it. He said that you can't really hurt him because he literally does. He loves throwing that word around, literally. He literally doesn't care. Jon Moxley is he's going to literally kill MJF on Saturday at Full Gear. And then he is literally going to get on an airplane and fly home. And he is literally going to go to sleep. And then he is literally going to wake up the next morning and maybe he won't brush his teeth. But whatever he does, he will literally do it. So last week he said he asked the question, who exactly is MJF? Says that he did a little bit of research during the week to find out. He found out that MJF is actually a really good singer. Found out that he has exactly one win in the ring in the last 6 months. Said he took a summer vacation after doing some Brian Pillman stuff. And this is where he stumbled over his words a little bit. He tripped over himself. But he was trying to say that he took a summer vacation after trying to basically be Brian Pillman as the loose cannon from 1996. He came back in a Halloween mask to win a poker chip in a ladder match in the worst finish that he has ever seen. So excuse him if he's not exactly shaking in his boots. He says in MJF he sees a man dripping in insecurity. Kind of like Braun Strowman. A man, speaking of which, we have a new feature here. We have a new feature here. I said the trigger word, everybody. I said the trigger word, Braun Strowman, which means you gotta bring in the Strowman Express. You got to bring in the Strowman Express. Yes, you do. So anyway, yes, Braun Strowman, I think, is a very insecure person, but that's neither here nor there. So he says in MJF, he sees a man playing wrestler, worried that he might not be able to live up to the hype. This Sunday, we're going to see the world champion do what he does best. He is challenging MJF to show him something. He wants him to show him that he has got some guts. He wants MJF to show him that he has some balls. Show him why everybody thinks he's going to be the future of this industry. So then Stokely Hathaway walked out to the ring. Lee Moriarty rushes the ring. Moxley quickly disposes of him, but here comes W. Morrissey. Here's Ethan Page. They show up. They attack Moxley. Austin and Colton Gunn, they're holding back William Regal in the corner so he can't help. He can't do anything. He can't reach for the Nux. MJF's music hits. MJF comes out. You know, he's wearing, I think he had the tank top on, right, looking all, but he has improved his physique. In the time off over the summer, you could tell that MJF put the work in, man. His upper body now, I mean, he's got that, you know, muscle mass that he didn't have 6 months ago. So he's been putting the work in. So out comes MJF. He's laying out members of the firm as he is walking down to the ring. He's knocking it. They're coming at him. He's knocking him down. In the ring, Morrissey goozles him by the throat. He ends up kicking the big guy low. He kicks Ethan Page in the crotch, and then he takes him down with a punch. Made the firm look like a bunch of goobers here. He got, which they are. I mean, let's be honest, that's what they are. So he got a microphone. He told the firm to get out of Connecticut before he takes his boot and shoves it up their ass. Then he turned his attention to Jon Moxley. And he said that I didn't save you because I like you. I saved you because I want no excuses out of you and your Mark fans and everybody when I beat you on Saturday. He says, no dynamite diamond ring necessary. Ain't that right, Bill? And he got up in William Regal's face. He got up in old Billy Boy's face when he said that. He told Moxley that he knows he's in for the fight of his life this Sunday, but he's not the same guy that he was when they first fought for the championship the last time. That was a couple of years ago, I believe, during the pandemic. Those pandemic shows. He says he needs that belt more than he needs water, food, or oxygen. Because when you're the man who holds the AEW World Championship, that makes you the best wrestler on God's green earth. And he said, God damn it, it's my time. He told Moxley the greatest trick the devil ever pulled is convincing the world he doesn't exist. In case you couldn't tell by now, MJF really likes The Usual Suspects. I don't know if you guys picked up on that by now. He must have watched this movie 20 times by now because he loves to quote it in every fucking promo that he does. And he said on Saturday at Full Gear, he's going to prove that he is the devil. And he went to go do his catchphrase, and then Moxley swiped the microphone right out of his hand. And he said that if MJF can't find it within himself to win this Sunday or Saturday, actually, he messed up the next part. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But he said if he can't find it in himself to win, he's going to reach down and pull it out of him. And this is where he said, this Sunday. And then he stopped and he goes, wait, is the show Saturday or Sunday? He goes, this Saturday. The training wheels come off. So they had a little face-to-face to close things out here. William Regal was standing between them in the background. And Moxley gave him a little shoulder check as he left the ring. That was a tough crowd. It was a tough night for Moxley, too, because that wasn't the only moment he kind of flubbed here in this promo. But forgetting the day of the pay-per-view, that's kind of bad. You know, you're in the main event here. This is your final segment on Dynamite to sell this show. It's this weekend, and you don't even know the day of the show. But he corrected himself, at least. It came across to me like he really just didn't care. He said earlier in the promo, you know, I've been doing my research. I've been doing my homework. He didn't do enough of it this week. But yeah, that was a bad moment there, but it was a tough crowd. They were not reacting to anything that these guys were saying. You know, I think they were going for some of the big reactions and it just felt like they were fishing for that and they really weren't getting it. I think like they expected to, sending the firm out there again, you know, probably just to foreshadow them helping MJF at the pay-per-view, I thought was really, it was just so lazy. Yeah. Just, I thought lazily done. I thought it was very, and if it ends up happening that way, that's so fucking lame. I hope not. I hope that's not what ends up happening. But we have not heard anything. We did not hear anything in this promo that we have not heard from them before. As I said at the beginning of the stream, Moxley has put in some very strong promo work in the weeks leading up to this. MJF as well. MJF's segment with Regal all those weeks ago was one of the best television segments all year. In fact, that probably was the best television segment on AEW in 2022. And that was the peak. Where do you go from there, right? They peaked with that segment. So now MJF is coming out here and it's almost like he's playing pseudo babyface, tweener, like they're not sure what he is or they are, and we're not supposed to really know what he is. He's kind of in between right now. But we did not hear anything in this segment that we have not heard before. It felt like they were going through the motions, especially Moxley, going through the motions. I will be very happy when this Full Gear pay-per-view is over and done with, because I think the build to this show, outside of a few things, has been very lackluster. Very lackluster. And whatever you want to attribute that to, the booking, missing certain people. I know CM Punk not being around fucked with their plans, because this was supposed to be CM Punk and MJF. And that completely just threw everything into a state of chaos. So they had to recalibrate, they had to change and adapt along the way, but they've been promoting this show for a while now, and that excitement level just isn't there. On paper, you look at the lineup, you look at the, and I'm going to go through the lineup here in a second, I'll do my predictions, but there's a lot of matches on this card that you expect are going to deliver. I mean, this could end up being a sleeper show, but the build to this show has been very, very much lacking. Now, Rampage on Friday night is the go-home, the official go-home show. It's a Full Gear. We have Lee Moriarty against Hook for the FTW title. Again, just kind of thrown out there. I had forgotten about Hook. Hook! I used to talk about where all the hookers in the chat. Everybody would come out of the woodwork, and now it's like I forget the Hook's even on the show. So Hook will be defending against Lee Moriarty. Athena goes one-on-one with Madison Rain. Ricky Starks takes on Lance Archer in the Eliminator Tournament. And Eddie Kingston is going to get the match that he has been waiting his entire career for. There were two men that he wanted to step into the ring with. And one of those men is Jun Akiyama. And so he will have the chance to step into the ring with Jun Akiyama on Rampage this Friday in a tag team match. It'll be Eddie Kingston and Ortiz taking on Akiyama and Konosuke Takeshita, who is back stateside. I'm happy to hear that. I'm happy to hear that Takeshita is back. So that's your main event on Rampage this Friday. So let's get into the... Actually, before I even get into the predictions, let's take a look at the Twitter poll. Because as a go-home show, again, I thought it was very weak. As a show, it was good. It wasn't great. It was good. It's a good show. But I just don't think it moved a lot of people who were already contemplating whether or not they should order this show. And the poll seems to reflect that. You know, over 50% thumbs up. Like I said, it was a solid show, but definitely not a strong go-home effort. 27% thumbs in the middle and 19% thumbs down. So again, that's at Solomonster is the place to go. This is where all these polls live and breathe for now on Twitter until the platform just completely implodes. So go vote. I want to know what you guys thought of the show tonight at Solomonster on Twitter. Let's run through the card for Full Gear on Saturday. They are going to be at the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. We have the official confirmation as of tonight that Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks are, in fact, back. They will challenge Death Triangle for the AEW Trios titles, and they will win the AEW Trios titles because they were never supposed to lose them in the first place. And now Tony Khan can get back on course. He can get back on track with whatever his original creative plans were. And I have every expectation that Omega and the Bucks will win the belts back on Saturday. We also know that Wardlow will defend the TNT Championship in a triple threat against Powerhouse Hobbs and Samoa Joe. Wardlow had a good showing tonight in the segment that he had where he ran out there and he did the big dive out onto everybody. And he had the people behind him at the end of the segment. He looked like a monster out there. The number of great Wardlow segments on television since he beat MJF, going all the way back before he even won the TNT title, go all the way back to Double or Nothing at the end of May. He got that big win over MJF that should have just cemented his place and sent him onto that next phase of his career. And instead, all the attention was on MJF. All the attention was on the guy who lost the match. And it just feels to me like Wardlow never really recovered from that. He never recovered from that. And Tony Khan has really dropped the ball on booking Wardlow over the last few months. You can put any belt on him that you want to, but Wardlow is not as hot of an act now as he was back then. And the whole point is you want to at least sustain that. You want to build on that. You want to get that guy even hotter. And that just hasn't happened. And you got to lay that at the feet of Tony Khan, because Tony Khan is the one who writes this television and books this product. And I think he has dropped the ball with Wardlow. This match, though, should be a hell of a fucking war between these three guys. I still feel like Hobbs is going to come out of this with the TNT Championship. And then Wardlow is going to go on and probably wrestle Joe one-on-one at Final Battle next month, possibly for Joe's ROH TV title. But I feel like coming out of this, Hobbs is going to get the title. And really, this run as TNT Champion so far for Wardlow has been a massive disappointment. It has been severely underwhelming. And so I have no issue with them taking the belt off him and trying with Powerhouse Hobbs, and I hope that if they do that, Tony Khan does a better job with Hobbs than he has done with Wardlow. Jade Cargill, speaking of lame stories, Jade. I'll get it right one of these days. Boy, me and Moxley are in the same boat. Jade Cargill defending her TBS championship against Nyla Rose. Nyla Rose has been walking around for weeks now with the physical belt. She stole it from Jade. Jade wants the belt back. What a great story. Jade Cargill will win. Nyla Rose is not going to be the one to end the streak. Jade retains. Jade retains and then hopefully holds on to that thing until Jamie Hayter comes and takes it away from her. We have Sting and Darby Allin taking on the team of Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. We're going to get Sting and Jeff Jarrett back in the ring together like it's 2004. Or I guess like Jeff said tonight, like it's 1998. Sting and Jeff Jarrett back in the ring together. It's a tag match, so it's fine. Hopefully this is a one-and-done thing. We don't need this to linger beyond this show. Sting and Darby, they need the win. Sting and Darby will get the win. We have the finals of the World Title Eliminator Tournament and possibly the semifinals too. Depending on when they do the match with Brian Cage. But I have every expectation it will come down to Ricky Starks and Ethan Page, with Ricky Starks going over. And Ricky Starks will be the one to challenge, likely MJF, for the AEW World Championship at Winter is Coming next month in Texas. Saraya, back in the ring for the first time in 5 years, taking on Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Pointed out on the podcast on Sunday that Britt Baker has won very few singles matches since she won the Owen Hart tournament in May. She has won one singles match on television since May. So you can't really say that Britt Baker is in a position where, oh, you know, all she does is win and be protected and she's burying everybody else. I mean, you look at her record over the last several months and it just doesn't reflect that. So they might be tempted to want her to go in there and, you know, pick up a win. But this is the Saraya comeback story. This is her first match back in 5 years. I think Saraya needs to win this match, and I think she will. We have Jungle Boy one-on-one in a steel cage match against Luchasaurus. Christian Cage is still hurt. He's going to be out for at least a few more months. I don't know where they go from here. I think they're probably going to want to continue this, but I think Jungle Boy needs this win. I think he should go over in this match. So I'm picking Jungle Boy for the win. We have the Acclaim defending the AEW Tag Team titles against the former champs Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. No reason whatsoever to take those belts off the Acclaimed. Swerve and Strickland are just one more disagreement away from total collapse. It could happen on Saturday. I've said before, it's like the Sting and Lex Luger dynamic when they were doing that whole angle in WCW back in 96, or 95 into 96, whatever it was, when they were, you know, they're friends, they're tag team partners, but, you know, Luger's kind of, you know, he's kind of the heel, he's kind of doing his own thing, Sting is kind of oblivious to it. Keith Lee is not oblivious to the way that Swerve Strickland has been acting, but he is the clear babyface here, and Swerve is the clear heel. And it's been kind of fun to follow along, but you know that's not going to last. No reason to take the belts off the Acclaimed, who are still very over. So the Acclaimed are going to get the win. Yeah, I just realized there's no FTR on this show. They had almost like an afterthought of a match for them at All Out. And now they don't even have a match at Full Gear. it's incredible to me that when they do come out on TV, they still get the reaction they get. Because they don't, by all rights, FTR, you know, should not be getting those kinds of reactions given how little they've been featured in anything meaningful on TV. It's almost like, you know, they have the Ring of Honor tag team titles and now they've been designated Ring of Honor guys. And that, I think, that's fucking terrible because they're one of the hottest teams they have in the entire company. They're kind of like Wardlow. Maybe that's why they put Wardlow and FTR together back around All Out. The booking on them has been so subpar. It's like they peaked and Tony Khan just doesn't really know what to do with them. And I know they've been going around and they were in Japan and they, you know, they were defending the IWGP belts. They have all these tag team belts, right? They have to defend them. But I think it's inexcusable that you don't have anything for them on this show. That's inexcusable. How do you not have something for this team? They were feuding with the Ass Boys, which in and of itself is fucking ridiculous. But I thought, okay, well, that'll end up as a match on the show or maybe on the pre-show. Maybe it still will end up on the pre-show. But, boy, you know, throwing a match out there at the last minute for FTR, boy, you know, that doesn't really instill a lot of confidence in the booking of these guys. Toni Storm defends her interim AEW Women's Championship against Jamie Hayter. Look, I'd love to see Jamie Hayter win the title, but I don't think it's her time. I don't think it's her title. I think the TBS title will be hers. I think that Toni Storm is going to hold on to that until Thunder Rosa comes back. They're hopeful. Thunder Rosa is hopeful. January will be that time. So I think she holds on to it. I think they keep it on her until Rosa comes back. But again, this could be a breakout night for Jamie Hayter. This could be the biggest match of her career on Saturday. Even in defeat, this could be a huge night for her. Chris Jericho puts his Ring of Honor World Championship on the line in a four-way against Bryan Danielson, Sammy Guevara, and another former ROH champion, as Danielson is, Claudio Castagnoli. We saw the four of them in a tag match on the show tonight. We got a little taste of what we can get from them in a four-way on the pay-per-view. This is going to be great. But I don't expect Jericho to be leaving without his title. Chris Jericho will retain. There'll be dissension in the ranks with him and Sammy Guevara. And we'll see if Daniel Garcia makes an appearance, since apparently he's been MIA now for a few weeks. Hey, Benjamin Espinoza just became a Sound Off superstar. Sound Off channel member Benjamin, welcome. Thank you, brother. And John Moxley defends the AEW World Championship against MJF. MJF goes from curtain jerker on last year's Full Gear show in the opening match to the main event of this year's show for the World Heavyweight Championship. See, that is what you call progress. That's progress from 1 year to the next. 1 year you're opening the show, the next year you're closing the show, and very likely walking out as the new world champion, which I believe he is. I believe that MJF is going to walk out with the AEW World Heavyweight Championship, and he's going to do so by beating a man who has been more protected than any EVP in this company, than any other talent in this company. Jade Cargill is undefeated, but she doesn't have the body of matches that Jon Moxley has had. Jon Moxley lost to CM Punk at All Out and was supposed to go away for a few weeks on a little vacation. He was going to do some ice fishing with his friend. It didn't work out that way because the children were running around the classroom because they had a substitute teacher that day who was sitting at the table doing nothing to control the class. Usually the teacher would stand up and put a stop to it. But what the substitute teacher does is just sit there and let the kids run amok, which is what happened at the Brawl Out Scrum. So because of all the bullshit that went down, Jon Moxley never got his vacation, but he got another world title out of it. Outside of the loss to CM Punk in Chicago, Jon Moxley has not lost a singles match in AEW since July of last year. July of 2021, he lost on Dynamite, IWGP US title match, lost to Lance Archer. That is how far back you have to go to find a Jon Moxley loss. So you're going to tell me that there's somebody else who's been more protected than Jon Moxley? Uh-uh, I don't think so. So MJF going in there on Saturday and pinning him or making him submit. And I just cannot see Jon Moxley submitting. So I don't think that's going to be the finish. But even just pinning Jon Moxley should be a big fucking deal for MJF. And I think he will. I think he will walk out as the world champion. I think he will do so not with the Dynamite Diamond ring. He's made that promise. But with a pair of brass knucks. And I do still believe that William Regal is going to factor into this finish in some way. Whether it's a flat-out turn on Jon Moxley or whether it's just an acknowledgement that use the knucks, huh? You learned something. A little nod of respect from William Regal. I think he's turning. But one way or the other, I do think that MJF is going to get the win with the brass knucks. I think it comes down to the knucks. I think there's been a lot of foreshadowing going on. Is the firm still with MJF? Is it all just a ruse? It could be. I don't really give a shit about the firm. I think that would be fucking lame if he wins because the firm helps him win. That would suck. If they factor into the finish of the match and help him win, that would be lame. So hopefully that doesn't happen. But MJF is going to be the first real young pillar of the company to hold on to that world championship. Because Jericho was not a young pillar of the company. Jon Moxley is not a young pillar of the company. Hangman Page is not even a young pillar of the company. He's not young like Jungle Boy or, you know, Darby. Or I don't even know how old Darby is, but, you know, MJF, Sammy, people like that. When MJF wins that title, he will be the first true AEW young representative to hold that championship. So, you know, a lot of ways, it's kind of like a landmark moment for this company if they do put the title on somebody like that and then build around that person. This could be the first real star that they build around and try to, you know, kind of strap the rocket to him and launch him and see how far he can go. MJF is that guy. And that is what we will see at the end of that show. And something else that you will see at the end of that show is me. Because I will be live on YouTube as soon as the pay-per-view is over. So when the pay-per-view is over, 8 hours later, I might be bleary-eyed, but I will be here live and we will recap the entire thing late on Saturday night. So again, remember, bookmark, come on back here on the YouTube channel because we'll be doing that. Not only are we going to be doing that, not only are we going to be talking about the pay-per-view, we're going to be talking about something else as well. We're going to be talking about how you guys can walk away on Saturday night with that, your own replica AEW World Championship. And here's the cool thing about this. It's only a buck. Not a young buck. It's a George Washington buck. $1, that's it, to enter the giveaway at WrestleRumble.com. You can go right now. Entries are open. You can enter as many times as you want. That thing right there weighs 9 pounds. Okay, it's got 868 simulated jewels. 868. It fits up to a 45-inch waist. Comes in a black cloth bag with the AEW logo on it. So again, get on that. It's only $1 to enter. Go right now. WrestleRumble.com. And you could potentially win. I'm going to be picking the winner. One winner. That's it. Just one. Live on the air. On early Sunday morning. Let's be honest. It'll be early Sunday morning when I pick that winner. So anyway, yes. Go and check that out. We're going to have a good time on Saturday now. We're going to have a good time really on every stream. I'm going to be live with you every single night between now and Saturday. You're going to be getting a lot of Solid Monster. Let's check out your super chats, guys. I want to thank you for your support. We missed the stream on Monday. I was pissed, but it had to be. So hopefully we can make up for that here tonight. We've got Mr. Backshots is with us. Would you say that Melo, Montez, and Ricky Starks remind you of each phase of The Rock? Melo is Nation Rock. Montez is People's Champ Rock. and Starks is Hollywood Rock. I don't see that at all. I don't see. I mean, look, I see elements of The Rock in Ricky Starks. But no, I mean, I think that you've got three young guys who each one can go on to become a major player. Carmelo Hayes could be a major, major player on the main roster. Montez Ford, I have said, Montez Ford, I think, is a heel. When he breaks away from Angelo Dawkins and he goes heel, I think he's gonna launch himself into that next level. He can be a real singles player on Raw or SmackDown. Ricky Starks can be a world champion one day. Ricky Starks has charisma for days. He's got that confidence, you know? I mean, not everybody has that. So I see elements of The Rock in Ricky, but I don't want to compare them to The Rock. I just think that's doing a disservice to them. Justin Jack, Howdy Solomonster, says, I am currently playing WWE 2K22. Yeah, I have not played 2K22 in a while. We'll have to get back to that soon. Lovely, Solomonster looking yummy in the thumbnail. I told you, I'm staying in shape. Amiibo Guru with the $10 super chat. At the show tonight, great seats, but did not have time for a sign. But a few IPAs in, great review as always. Peace and love, Solomonster. Cowboys suck. Corey Blake with the $10 super chat. Hey, Solomonster, happy 15th anniversary. Buy or sell of which tag should have gotten a run with Tag Team Gold? The Rockers or Santana and Ortiz in AEW? Santana and Ortiz. Absolutely. Santana and Ortiz, again, that's another example of Tony Khan dropping the ball. How did he drop the ball on Santana and Ortiz? I mean, I know they ended up having a falling out, but that didn't come until later on. They had all that time to build up Santana and Ortiz as tag team title contenders, and they did nothing with them. Jonathan Williams with the $15 super chat. Hey, Jonathan, thank you, brother. Thanks again for mentioning Children's Grief Awareness Day on the podcast. Here is to another 15 years and beyond. And he mentions something very important that is taking place tomorrow. Tomorrow is Children's Grief Awareness Day, as it is every Thursday before Thanksgiving. You can check out the Highmark Place channel on YouTube. I mentioned it on the podcast on Sunday. They're going to be posting a video. It's going to be from Amanda Huber, the widow of the late John Huber, Mr. Brody Lee, just talking about, you know, what happened with him and the experience that their family went through. And it's going to be pretty powerful stuff. And that's going to pop up on their YouTube channel tomorrow. So shout out to Jonathan and all the work that he does. Josiah Ball, missed you, Solomonster. Hope that they're... hey, Josiah, I appreciate that you are with us tonight. I know I disappointed you on Monday. Did not mean to do that, but we are here tonight. Dick the Cock Johnson with the $4.99. Assuming that Rampage match will further Athena's heel turn that's been teased on the YouTube shows and set her up to challenge Tony after the pay-per-view. Could be. They're going to need a challenger for her before Thunder Rosa comes back. Athena would make sense. The Phenom. I, for one, believe that MJF should win clean, no interference, and by tap out to solidify that he is the real deal. What do you think? I cannot imagine that he's going to win that match by tap out, but I do think he's going to win. And I think he should win clean as well. Let me take that back. I don't think he needs to win clean. Like, if he uses the brass knucks, I think it fits the story. I don't have an issue with that because I still think at his core, MJF is a prick. And I don't think he's going full-on babyface, if ever, just yet. It's The Firm. I don't want to see them involved in this match. If The Firm gets involved and here comes Lee Moriarty and here comes Stokely, like, I don't care about that. That would just be a completely lame, deflating finish to the match. And frankly, a swerve that I think a lot of people would see coming from a mile away. So that I don't want to see. as far as interference. But I mean, as far as them doing a finish where he uses the Nux or William Regal gets involved and does a turn, like, if it fits the story, that I don't mind. I don't think he needs to tap out Jon Moxley to prove himself or to get a big win. Daniel Carlisto. Salamos, the promos on AEW were all cringe. Joe's, the women, even the MJF promo got off to a terrible start. How many times did he watch the pipe bomb before going out there? I didn't see anything wrong with Joe's promo. Britt Baker had a fine promo tonight. The other ones, yeah, Moxley and MJF, not their best night. And there are a lot of promos on the show that are cringe. I did not think that the Britt Baker promo or especially the Joe promo was cringe. I don't know. If you ever watch the Samoa Joe promo and think it's cringe, I don't know what the fuck you're watching. Seriously. I mean, Daniel, you're going to lump Joe in with the rest of them? You're going to lump Joe in with the women on this show? Were we watching two different things tonight when Samoa Joe came into that ring? I would not be lumping Samoa Joe in with the cringe promos on this show. You had me until you lumped Joe in there. I don't understand that at all. Josiah, thank you for the buck. Mr. Notorious Chico 86, I hate Connecticut crowds, and I live here. By the way, I don't understand the appeal of Toni Storm. Her matches are okay, and she has no personality. Here's Daniel, back with a Raw question. Daniel says, that's cool, don't you feel like Damian Priest is too much with his Razor Ramon mannerisms, calling it the Razor's Edge, the Surf Walk, and then the C finger point? He needs to be his own. No, I mean, it doesn't bother me. I look at it as a tribute. You know, the guy passed away this year. Obviously, he was already using the Razor's Edge, I think, even before that. But I haven't really noticed the mannerisms, you know, being an issue with me. I mean, it's not overly bothersome to me. I kind of look at it as maybe just him paying tribute to the guy since he passed away this year. So I don't see anything wrong with it. Joseph Brooks with a $9.99. WWE had a list of five greatest to never make it to WWE. I know you are going to disagree, but this is who they include: Great Muta, Magnum TA, New Jack, Abdullah the Butcher, and Midnight Express. Where's Bruiser Brody? How are you going to have a list like that and not have Bruiser Brody on the list? New Jack should not be on that list. And Abdullah the Butcher should not be on that list either. Fuck them both. Alberto Ortiz with the 99 cents. Thank you, Alberto. Deep Delicious Chicken and Turkey with flavor. He's very festive for the Thanksgiving season. I was at the Bridgeport show tonight. The crowd, unfortunately, was mid. We tried. Really? You tried? That's your best effort, huh? You tried? I'm not blaming you. I'm blaming all the other people that were sitting around you. Didn't sound like you were trying. But then again, there wasn't necessarily a lot on this show for them to go gaga about, I guess. So, can only blame the crowd so much. Shinakuma says, welcome back. We missed you. I missed you too, Shin. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, a wild slap nuts on my TV. Awful pre-birthday gift. Tommy Seville, when did you feel like your opinion / the sound off finally had credibility within the weirder wrestling universe? The weirder wrestling universe? It is a weird universe, I'll give you that. There are definitely some weird fucking people in this universe. I think he meant wider. The wider wrestling universe. I started realizing it when I was getting messages and DMs from the actual wrestlers, who usually it wasn't so much to compliment me so much as it was to point out something they didn't like about what I said. As was the case again this past week. But we'll leave that alone. Bob the Builder with the $3 super chat. I'm surprised they haven't put Yuta and Garcia on the pay-per-view since they have been heavily pushing them since All Out. Maybe Tony Khan finally came to his senses. I think he came to the realization that that probably should be on the final battle card. We have a Ring of Honor pay-per-view coming up in a few weeks. Maybe he's saving it for that. And there's Tommy. There's Tommy. See, Tommy, I already corrected you. Tommy says I meant wider, not weirder. I kind of figured that out. Thank you, though, brother. Nick Grosso with the $4.99. After that promo, do you see a double turn with Britt Baker and Saraya? Maybe Britt's girls turn on her, or maybe Saraya recruits other girls. See, that would be interesting. If they did a double turn, that actually would be interesting. But, you know, Britt Baker is a babyface, though. I'm not ready for that. We had Britt Baker as a babyface already, and that didn't work out too well. So I don't know if I'm totally sold on that. But I don't think that's what they have in mind, though. Oofman Entertainment, Lord Solomon, sir, is that Sith or Jedi? That's Sith. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, what's Lord Solo doing in the Impact Zone? Wouldn't you like to know? King Bling Blah, play along. If AEW were to invade Raw like DX tried to in 98, would Triple H let them in the building? Who would be a part of the invasion? No, I don't think he would. And things are so different now. The company is so corporate and... You know, if it were Triple H running the company 25 years ago, I think he would have, but I think the Triple H of today would not. No. I don't think so. Deep Delicious Chicken and Turkey with Flavor. After Full Gear, AEW has to hit the reset button. Yeah, I mean, I will be very happy when this pay-per-view is over and they can move on. Time for Moxley to go on vacation. He deserves it. Bob the Builder, it's pretty obvious that MJF re-signed. If not, shaking my head. I thought he already said he signed an extension. Well, I don't mean an extension beyond 2024. He said there was some mention of him signing something. But yeah, he's not going anywhere anytime soon. They've got him locked up until the beginning of 2024. If you're referring to that, if you think that he re-signed beyond that, I think it's possible. It's very possible. But I don't know why he would. I actually think if he re-signed now, that would be a pretty stupid move on his part, because he could get so much more money. If he holds out until later in the year next year, I'm telling you, the TV rights are coming up. AEW is going to get a bump. They're going to get a bump like Tony Khan gets his bump. WWE is going to get a bump. Everybody's going to get a bump. You can get more money. Just wait. Just hold off. There's no reason for him to sign anything right now. Mr. Ozone, congrats on 15 years. Thank you, sir. Here's to another 15. Thank you for all the content. I cannot believe I did not find your channel until 2020. I can't believe you didn't find my channel until then either. Where have you been? You gotta leave those other lame channels behind. I'm glad you found this channel. And so is Baby Russo on a poll here. Joseph Brooks with the $9.99 Russo on a poll, bro. Super chat. Thank you, Joseph. Deep Delicious says AEW next year needs to bring back elements of gimmick matches and gimmick shows, but maintain the grittiness in the ring. Gimmick show? What gimmick shows would you be referring to? Here I am sitting here telling you that WWE needs to eliminate a bunch of their gimmick shows, and now you want AEW to bring back gimmick shows. What gimmick shows would you like them to bring back? Lovelie says, your rant on Tyrus and Corgan on Sunday killed me. Not as much as Tyrus winning the NWA championship kills the NWA title. Deep Delicious Chicken and Turkey with Flavor. I would book Saraya to win by DQ. When Britt Baker loses her nerve, hits Saraya with a chair in the back of her head to get massive heat. That is a terrible idea. And I hope that Soraya does not take a chair shot to the back of the... Jesus Christ, Deep Delicious. What is the matter with you? Can you imagine her doctor watching that show after what he told her? Like, you'll be fine, just, you know, be cautious. And then he sees her take a fucking chair to the back of the head. Joseph Brooks with the $9.99. Would you consider WrestleMania 19 the most underrated WrestleMania of all time? It had lots of great matches and even had matches that were surprisingly good. But WrestleMania 19 is still not looked at as one of the best. I do think it's an underrated show, and it actually did a very poor buy rate compared to the WrestleManias that surround it. WrestleMania 17 was up around a million or so, maybe a little less. WrestleMania 18 did pretty well. WrestleMania 20, I think, did pretty well. And then you see 19. I think 19 did like 550. I don't know. I don't know what to make of that other than they really built the show around a Hulk Hogan-Vince McMahon main event, which ended up not being the main event. But they made it seem like Hogan and Vince was the main attraction on the show. Maybe people just didn't want to see two old fuckers going one-on-one. Maybe that had something to do with why that show didn't do as well. But Hogan and Vince actually had a better match than they had any right to have. Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho, great match. Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle, despite the botch, great match. Austin and Rock, not my favorite match of their series, but they had that final match of theirs, good match. So yeah, I mean, it's an underrated show, I think, by some people. I don't want to say it's a totally underrated show, because a lot of people, I think a lot of people rate that show pretty highly. It's just that at the box office, you know, pay-per-view wise, it just for whatever reason did not do well. I don't know that I would say it's really underrated by a lot of people, though. EJ Slam, did Nick Bockwinkel ever have a run in WWE? Because if he didn't, you can replace New Jack and Abdullah with him too. I don't think he did. He certainly didn't have a run there like he did in the AWA with Heenan. And look, you know, Bobby Heenan came in, the Heenan family. Imagine if Heenan was managing Nick Bockwinkel in WWE. How great would that have been? I don't think he did, though. Slim Yoshi says, ready for this JAS BBC feud to end. BBC. BCC. I don't know what BBC you're talking about, but it's the Blackpool Combat Club for you. I could be wrong, but it's been going on since RK-Bro were still tag team champions. It has been going on for a very long time. And I too am ready for it to finally be over. I agree. I don't know what club you're talking about, Slim Yoshi. The BBC. That's a very different type of club. Yeah, that's Solomonster After Dark that we're talking about here. Maybe he's talking about the BBC channel. I'd like to think that that's what he's thinking. Anyway, I want to thank you guys for helping us reach our goal tonight. We have smashed the 500 likes goal for this stream, which means for the first time in, say it with me now, 9 days, it is time for Be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
There she is, everybody. There is Soraya, who is in Be the Booker. Maybe we'll land on Soraya tonight. We'll see. You never know who we're going to land on when we do this segment, but it is time to Be the Booker. It has been a while. It has been a hot minute since we have booked some of these matches. And so, for those of you who are new to how this all works, we book random matches here using this random generator that I myself created in my laboratory. The mad scientist, the lord that I am, Lord Solomonster. We'll book a men's match, a women's match, and a tag team match, and we will see how we do. We begin with the men. We see many faces here. Totally random. Have no idea what it's going to land on. But we begin. Well. Well, I sound like Joel Gertner now, the quintessential stud muffin from ECW. Well. Look at who it is, everybody. It is CM Punk with his Mindy's Muffins. And Tony Khan wishing that he was anywhere but where he is, looking down, perhaps reconsidering his life choices here. CM Punk not looking very happy, although he is very much enjoying his muffins. So let's see who the Muffin Man is going to be stepping into the ring with. It will be the Muffin Man going one-on-one with Will Ospreay. Muffin Man and Will Ospreay is a good match. If Muffin Man can get over himself for 2 seconds and put the fucking muffins down. What's funny about this, before Punk ever made the decision to come back to wrestling, he did an interview. He was promoting some movie that he had done, some Netflix movie, I think it was. And he expressed an interest in possibly stepping, because Ospreay was calling him out at the time, and he had expressed an interest in getting into the ring with Will Ospreay and said, let's see if he's still the IWGP champion when the summer comes. And of course, Ospreay got hurt, and he was not the IWGP champion, but CM Punk did come back that summer, and we never did get that match. And right now, it looks like we never will. But that would be a hell of a match. All the stars in the land. Will Ospreay right now, for my money in the ring, pound for pound, best in the world. Best in the world, and it ain't CM Punk. Let's go to the ladies. See what we can concoct here in this match. We begin with the former women's champion, Natalya, who had her face rearranged by a knee from Shayna Baszler, had her knee reconstruct, or her nose. The knee went into her nose and moved it to the side, and so she had her nose reconstructed. She's going to be out for a while, but Natalya, a veteran of the women's division. See who she is going to be stepping into the ring with. It'll be Natalya going one-on-one with Ty Mello. We go from the woman who just had her nose broken to the woman who I believe broke the nose of Ruby Soho. Ruby Soho had her nose shattered the last time she was in the ring with Sammy Guevara and Ty Mello. I don't know how well that match would go. Probably not very well. Let's move on to the tag teams. We begin with, Solo Monster's favorite team of all time. The first, actually they weren't the first, but they did three-peat as the WWF Tag Team Champions, Axe and Smash Demolition. One of the best theme songs in wrestling history. Demolition. Hopefully now that Triple H is in power, we'll take their rightful place in the Hall of Fame sooner rather than later. Demolition going to be, this should be good. Demolition going to be stepping into the ring to take on Too Cool. Demolition against Brian Christopher and Scotty Too Hotty. I give that the bell because Demolition is the shit, man. Demolition is the shit and they would make it work. Scotty Too Hotty would go to give the worm to Axe and he would just fucking beat the living hell out of him. There you go. As soon as I landed on Demolition, you had to know. You had to know where I was going with it. I mean, come on. It's Demolition. My childhood here. So CM Punk, though, Muffin Man, and Will Ospreay, though, is the match of the night in Be the Booker. So it was good to get Be the Booker back. It's good to be back with all of you after missing the Monday night stream. But as I said, we have a very busy week. Very, very busy. Busy week, and it continues tomorrow with the 20th anniversary of the very first Elimination Chamber. We're going to be doing a watch-along. And the way we're going to work this is it's open to everybody in the chat. Everybody can join in. It's going to be 8 p.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock tomorrow night. If you're not busy, come hang out. We're going to watch. And as we watch along, we'll also be hanging out, taking super chats, celebrating 15 years of the Solid Monster Sounds Off. I make no promises. Solid Monster might do some drinking tomorrow night. We might get the bar going tomorrow. We'll see. But that's going to be 8 p.m. tomorrow night. And then, of course, on Friday, we have the SmackDown stream. It'll be SmackDown only. Not Rampage. We'll do SmackDown. I'm going to have to rest up. It's going to be a long day on Saturday because we have Full Gear. And then as soon as Full Gear is over, we have the live stream, episode 783 of the podcast coming up on Sunday. And then we have Thanksgiving week. And the plan for Thanksgiving week is going to be Raw Monday night. It's going to be Dynamite on Thanksgiving Eve. And probably SmackDown next Friday. So the schedule really should not be affected next week. But I hope that all of you are planning to be with family next week and celebrating the holiday, and we'll talk about it next week. But I do want to say that I say thank you. You know, Thanksgiving, it's always a case of what are you thankful for? And I always say the same thing. I'm thankful for all of you and your support and that you guys, you know, allow me to do this. And the show keeps getting bigger and bigger every year. So it's all you can hope for is that that continues. Hey, Deep Delicious just asked a question. Natty against Ty Mello, a 7-star match in the Upside Down. We have one more season left of Stranger Things. It could happen. Maybe it'll happen in the Upside Down. And Tony Khan has said, it is confirmed, that there will be a media scrum after All Out, or after, I'm still focused on All Out. There will be a media scrum after Full Gear. I'll be streaming during the media scrum. So if anything goes down during the scrum, we'll find out about it in real time during the stream. I'm glad he's not discontinuing those, though. Just because, you know, one lunatic ruined it for everybody else. I like the fact that he does the scrums. I wish that, you know, a lot of the questions weren't so cringe. But I don't see anything wrong with having something open like that and inviting people to come and ask questions and, you know, talk about the event and give it more of that sports-like feel. So I don't mind them doing it. I'm glad they haven't discontinued it. Vontel says, thoughts on the KO news? Well, I mean, again, unless you're referring to something that broke tonight, he's hurt. So the hope is that it's not serious enough to keep him out for months and months, but I mean, it's not looking good for Survivor Series. We've had no update from WWE. If it's an MCL sprain, I don't see how he makes it to Survivor Series. I have no doubt that he was going to be in that War Games match, and if he's hurt, they're going to have to find somebody else. I'm hoping he's not hurt that seriously, and maybe he can still make it. You know, but if he has to be out for an extended period of time, few months. Just saying, you know, they're going to be in Montreal for Elimination Chamber. It'd be a hell of a pop if he made the big surprise return to come to the aid of Sami Zayn being beaten down by the Bloodline. I'm just saying. And Dr. Dakota Scorpio says, I have to choose between 15 years of Solid Monster and my birthday on the same day. That don't work for me, brother. Well, happy early birthday to you, Dr. Dakota. I will not hold it against you if you are not around tomorrow night. But if you can stop by, drop on by. And Joseph Brooks says, I just thought of two names to replace New Jack and Abdullah from that awful top five. How about Chris Adams and Gino Hernandez? I would consider Gino. I would leave Chris Adams off. I like the suggestion that somebody made of Nick Bockwinkel. I like my suggestions that I made. And Gino's one of those what if stories. Yeah, he was so young and his body of work was so small. But I think he definitely, you know, kind of like Magnum, I think he definitely would have gone on to bigger things. Who do I want or who do I have to win the IWGP women's title? I think it's going to be Kairi. It's Kairi against Mayu Iwatani. I think that's next. When is it? It's the 20th, right? November 20th. So it's this Sunday. Yeah, I think it's going to be Kairi. Kairi's my pick. Kairi has more of a name here in the U.S. than Mayu does. And the whole point of that belt, they want that belt to be defended here. So if the idea is to put it on somebody who has name value in the U.S., Kairi has more name value than Iwatani does. So I think they're going to want to put it on her. All right, good stuff, guys. Good questions tonight. Thank you for all the support. I hope you enjoyed the presentation. I hope you enjoyed the review. I hope it met your expectations. And I will see you right back here live tomorrow night for the watch-along and the big 15-year anniversary celebration. Thank you for 15 great years. Until then, I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, guys.